I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Welcome, everybody, back to the Oklahoma Drill Podcast. I am your host, Andrew, and as always, my co-host, Matt, is here with me. Matt, it is once again one of our favorite times of the year as we continue through our 2024 NFL Draft position rankings. This week, we are talking about the interior of the offensive line, probably the unsung heroes of any football team, the least sexy, least glamorous, least fan reaction-inducing part of any sort of NFL roster, but arguably one of, if not the most important. And that's why we're really excited to talk about it today. There's a lot of really fun players in this class, even up and down the board, guys that should get drafted a lot higher than they actually will and are going to end up being steals for a lot of teams, including possibly the New York Jets. So Matt, let's get right into this. I want to throw it to you first. We're going to rip through our top 10s and then get into a couple of guys out of each of our lists that we really want to highlight and talk about. Matt, go for it.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's been a lot said about the tackle group and the depth of the tackle group, where it is very top-heavy, and once you get out of the second round, I feel like the group kind of loses a lot of that punch. But the interior guys, I feel like that they just get started in the second round, and you could probably find good value going well into the fifth and maybe even the sixth round. So these guys, I have been a big fan of watching. Let's see, I've got Tanner Bordellini out of Wisconsin. 9, we have Zach Frazier out of West Virginia. 8, Zach Zinter out of Michigan. 7, Cooper Beebe out of Kansas State. 6, Christian Mahogany out of Boston College. 5, Cedric Von Prant out of Georgia. Dominic Pooney out of Kansas, Grant Barton out of Duke, and Jackson Powers Johnson out of Oregon. And to top it all off, Christian Haynes out of Connecticut.
Good list, good list. I have a handful of those same guys, couple of differences here and there. Number 10 for me, Hunter Norzad, the center from Penn State. Number 9, Christian Mahogany, the guard from Boston College. Number 8, Bo Limmer, the center from Arkansas. Number 7 is Zach Frazier, the center from West Virginia. 6 is Zach Zinter, the guard from Michigan. 5, Cooper Beebe, guard from Kansas State. 4, Cedric Von Prant, center from Georgia. 3, Jackson Powers Johnson, center from Oregon. 2, Graham Barton, guard, center, whatever you want, I guess, from Duke. And number 1, like you, Matt, I have Christian Haynes, the guard from UConn, as the top interior offensive lineman in this class.
Yeah, no crazy outliers, I think. Bo, I had probably just outside my top 10. Norzad, maybe a little bit further down, but still high on my list of people I would be looking at on day 3. But yeah, good list all around of definitely different skill sets. And they all bring something to the table that I think a lot of teams will be looking at.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. There is zone guys in this class. There is gap scheme guys in this class. There is true centers. There is guys that could play center or guard. There's true guards. There's guys that played tackle in college that could possibly move inside. And then there's guys like Graham Barton that played everything. So you really do have every sort of flavor you could possibly want. Matt, I want to throw it to you first. Who's the first guy you want to highlight out of that list? Do you want to go straight to the top with Christian Haynes, or do you want to start a little further down the board?
Why don't we start in the middle, since we were talking beforehand about the guy that we're kind of up and down on, and that would be Dominic Pooney out of Kansas. Now, when I watched him, the first thing that jumps out at you is his ability to move, whether it's to climb to the second level, move laterally, be able to get to reach blocks, being able to recover by sinking his hips and really just driving into the counters. He's got that movement skill. And I believe before we started signing all our free agents and really kind of was dialed in on power and control, Pooney is one of the guys that really jumped out at me as somebody I would love to develop as maybe a replacement for AVT if AVT isn't brought back, or if we don't pick up that fifth year option on him. I see him as an ideal guy that can sit for a year, really build his strength, because that's the one thing I believe you're going to talk about is his core strength and where that lacks right now. But it's really just an upside pick, because if he can get that power and strength down and kind of combine that with his ability to move, I think that makes him a very good guard prospect in the future.
Yeah, the movement skills are definitely the draw with him. And I think that's where he's going to excel more than anywhere else. He had a 4.4 flat, I believe, short shuttle, which was a really, really good time. I know that's a big metric for you, Matt, when it comes to offensive linemen. So you definitely have a good basement of movement skills here. The issue for me, like you mentioned, is the lack of core strength and the lack of power and pop on contact. And it's just, I feel like there's this unspoken kind of assumption within draft media that every offensive tackle in college with short arms can play guard and it's fine. And that it's just move them inside. It's easy. They'll be fine. And it's a different world on the inside, as opposed to playing tackle by yourself on an island on the edge. It requires a different skill set. It requires a different body type in a lot of ways. And it's not really as simple as this guy played tackle, but his arms are short, so play him at guard and he'll be okay. I think there's more to that. With Pooney in particular, 6'5", 313 pounds, 33 3/8-inch arms, which isn't horrendously short. It's not like it's definitely below the threshold of 34 that you would like, but it's not horribly or alarmingly bad short to where other offensive tackles haven't succeeded with that sort of length. And you watch him on film, like you said, Matt, the movement skills jump out. The ability to redirect and shuffle laterally, I think, is there. I just really wanted to see more of that power and more of that aggression to where if I'm projecting you as an offensive guard and I'm comparing you against guys that I know are going to be offensive guards in the NFL, I'm going to compare your power, your drive, your anchor, your ability to move people in that same category, because those are the guys you're going to be directly competing against for jobs in the NFL. And Pooney's lack of that really, really stuck out to me to where it's really obvious in his body type when you watch him on the field. He's 6'5", 313, like I said, and his legs are skinny. He has very little mass in his lower half, which contributes to that lack of drive on contact and that lack of ability to really anchor down, not only against bigger, powerful defensive ends, but against guys on the interior, and more importantly, move them to get underneath their pads and to quite literally shove like the sled and move them off the line of scrimmage and create that space for your not just running back, but quarterback and everything in between to be able to survive. It was really lacking. And like you said, he's going to have to get in the weight room and really get focused on that lower half and get stronger in his legs and his lower body. And if he does that, does he lose that agility that makes him valuable? That agility and that movement is his best trait right now. And you don't want to sacrifice that by trying to compensate for what you don't have from a strength perspective. And I just kind of view him as an in-between. I'm not quite sure at tackle. I'm not quite sure at guard. And I think he's a projection with his upside and betting that if he can add that strength and he can get some time dedicated to learning the interior, and really round out his body without compromising his movement skills, that he could be something. And I'd agree with that point, but I'm just a bit worried in terms of a guy that's going to play earlier, a guy that could be relied upon as a backup early. And looking at this class, the rest of it top to bottom, there's a handful of other guys for me that not only have the more development into what I expect their role to be in the league, but I think that they have some athletic upside too that makes it a bit harder for me to put Puni that high. But I don't blame you, because the talent is, it's like me with Tyler Guyton at tackle. You know, I don't want to be wrong. And so I'm going to put this guy high, because if he hits, he's going to be great. It's that same sort of vein for Puni.
So you mentioned it before, the short shuttle. And we've mentioned it many times before about how important that short shuttle is and how that is such a good indicator of success in the league. And just being a 4-4 short shuttle, that is extremely good. And I will always bet on that metric over pretty much any other metric for any other position. So that alone probably projected him or propelled him a little bit further up my rankings. Probably the same with Bortolini, because he's another guy that really shined in the short shuttle. So I will always kind of give a little bit more favor towards those guys.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you. I really don't. You can't make a living just going off of key metrics, but if there's any metric that you could do it with, it's short shuttle for offensive linemen. And that's kind of the difference here when it comes to, you know, does he hit a certain threshold in terms of measurements, in terms of agility testing, athletic testing, etc. A lot of those guys, a lot of those positions, there is some amount of an average threshold that you would like to see, but it by no means is a guaranteed indicator of success. With the short shuttle, it's like if you hit that top tier short shuttle, it's like a 75% chance you're going to be a good offensive lineman.
And that is such like a ridiculous indicator that it's hard to ignore.
It definitely is. It definitely is. Moving right along, let's get to my first guy here. My first guy is going to be Cooper Beebe at Kansas State. A guy that I watched later in the process, but I was really, really surprised by his film. Let's get to this discussion early and get it out of the way. For the New York Jets in particular, all indicators are that they are going to be looking to install more of a gap power scheme run game this year with the additions that they've made in free agency, mainly John Simpson, mainly Morgan Moses. Tyron Smith even has had more experience in that sort of gap scheme than a true wide zone scheme like the Jets have been running the past few years. And if you look at it from that perspective, Cooper Beebe is a perfect fit for this offense. If this is just an assumption by everybody, which I still think there's a chance of this, and this would be very disappointing, but if this is just an assumption and the Jets just added these guys who aren't going to be good at wide zone to run wide zone anyway, Cooper Beebe is not going to be a fit. He is not the lateral agility guy. He is not the immediate get out in space and be able to cross the face of a defensive tackle in a flash with three steps, turn his body, pin inside, and get that true reach block on the interior. He's not the greatest at sealing off blocks to the inside and then climbing to the second level and having to redirect. But if you just need somebody to move the line of scrimmage, if you just need somebody to knock defensive tackles to the ground, and you need somebody who is an absolute stalwart in pass protection, Cooper Beebe is the guy for you. And I'm really, really impressed with him. His measurables are not very enticing. They are, it's the opposite of Dominic Puni when you look at him and go, Puni's got all the talent in the world you could possibly hope for. And then you look at somebody like Cooper Beebe, and
kind of polar opposite.
Polar opposites. I mean, he is truly a bowling ball on the field. 6'3", 322 pounds, 31 and a half inch arms. That is alarmingly short. That is the, you got to really worry about, is, you know, can you compensate for that lack of length and can people get in your chest? And with Cooper Beebe, and the reason that I'm so high on him is that he has an answer for that. He has multiple, in fact. First things first, you can't move him off the line of scrimmage. He is, his anchor and his ability to set his weight and drop his weight and just be a tree stump that you're not going to walk back, even if you get into his chest, is just awesome. His anchor is awesome. On top of that, he is so good with his hands. And he's so smart with his hands, especially in pass protection, where he has the sense and the self-awareness to go, my arms are really short. I know it. 90% of guys I go against are going to be able to outreach me. So rather than try and outreach them when I know I have a disadvantage and try and get into their chest before they can get into mine and play a losing battle, I'm just going to wait for them to attack me and then grab their wrist and take away their contact point. So either way, they're still not getting into my chest. I'm still controlling their momentum. I'm still controlling their point of contact and keeping this rusher from getting to my quarterback. Who cares if I didn't get my hands inside and get latched onto the chest? Because they're still not going through me. And even if they do get their hands inside, they still then have to go through me and they can't do it. So I was really, really impressed with Cooper Beebe. He looks for work and pass protection too. You know, he's not the type of guy that's just, oh, I'm uncovered, I'm going to be fine and just take a look around. He wants to hit people. He puts people on the dirt. He's way more balanced than I think people expect. He's not on the ground a lot. You don't see him tripped up. You see him get hit awkwardly from the side in the middle of a pole or in the middle of, you know, fighting off a block. He stays upright, resets his balance. I'm really, really a big fan of what this guy did at Kansas State. And I think he's a plug and play guard in a gap scheme at the next level.
I think so as well. The guy just screams density. He's just a dense body that is impossible to run through. And yeah, even if you get in on his pads, it's still very hard to get any kind of leverage on him. I would, again, love to see a little bit more athleticism, but I feel like there's enough there.
It's not a deficiency at all.
No, because I saw him on some pulls and some wham blocks, and he does get to wherever he needs to be. He gets to his spot and he gets there with power. So I'm not worried about it. I think he could survive definitely in a power gap scheme that if we move in that direction. If we do wide zone, yeah, that's not his bag right there. But he would be a perfect fit for what we want to do when it comes to power control. And that's kind of been the MO of a lot of the guys that we brought in. With Morgan Moses, with Simpson, with oh my god, blanking on Tyron Smith. Yeah. These guys are all about power and control, and he would fit right in. And if AVT was to go down, AVT kind of fits the mold of what we wanted before, of the perfect wide zone guard. But you know what? If we're doing a changing of the guard, then going in the direction of a Cooper Beebe is the direction that we should be going in. That power, that ability to just ruin people's days, even when they think that they have leverage, it is a valuable asset to have. I would love him. Where do you have him going, like round wise?
Okay, this is the thing, and I'm glad you brought this up with this class. My grades in terms of where I have people valued are not going to be the same as where they get drafted, just because there is so much of an obsession with the wide receiver group, with the offensive tackle group, with the quarterback group, and then you're going to have those top-tier defensive players go. You're going to see the run on corners. You're going to see the run on pass rushers. There's some pretty good defensive tackles in this class, too. And I just feel like the interior offensive linemen are just going to get further and further pushed down the board. I think Cooper Beebe's a top 50 player. Going off just purely my evaluations, I think he is a solid second, you know, mid-second round pick, top 50 type of guy. And I think he could go as late as end of day three or end of round three.
Okay. Yeah, I have a second round grade on him. But I believe he's probably going to be going in the fourth round, if not the third round. I could definitely see that push down the board when it comes to all the other talent there. I completely agree with that. And if we can get him at 72, if we still are looking for depth on the interior, I would jump on him right away.
Oh, definitely. I'd be 100% for it. The thing with him, like we mentioned, he's so scheme specific. He's going to have a higher grade depending on the team. Where zone scheme teams are like, he's not even going to be in their top 10.
No.
He's not even going to be an option for them. But then teams like the Steelers, teams like the Ravens, you know, those sort of teams, they're going to have him much, much higher. And that the main point I came away watching Cooper Beebe was going, this is a Ravens offensive lineman. And look at two of the three guys the Jets brought in this past offseason were Ravens offensive linemen. Where did Joe Douglas spend a majority of his time grooming himself and honing his game as a scout? In Baltimore under Ozzie Newsome. This is the type of guy that's when you're talking about, you hear from the Ravens scouting department, which if anyone doesn't know, is probably the best scouting department in the league and has been for decades. They just find guys that fit what they want to do, that fit their identity. They go, this is a Raven. This is the type of player we want. Cooper Beebe's that type of guy. And it's also the same type of guy the Jets want. So if you fit the Ravens as an offensive lineman, you damn well fit the Jets too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think I saw a comparison somewhere of one, comparing him to Kevin Zeitler, who just had a very good year with the Ravens. So
that would be top tier, everything works out perfectly sort of comp, but that's the play style and the type of role that he would have, yes.
Yeah, I could see him just moving right into that Simpson role right away for year one.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Or like you said, if AVT goes down, you know, I think he could fill in right away, too. He's good enough in pass protection. I'm just a really big fan. This guy's going to be a starter in the league wherever he goes at some point.
Yeah, and that's kind of the theme of a lot of these guys. It's guys that have long-term starting potential. And it doesn't stop until very... And like you said, with the being pushed down the board, it's not going to stop on day two. It's going to go into day three.
Definitely. Definitely. All right, Matt, who you got next?
All right. Next is Cedric Von Prahn, who I feel like has been ignored and for no real good reason at all. I think that maybe Jackson Powers has kind of, you know, taken center stage when it comes to centers, which, you know, for good reason. He's definitely a very good prospect. But at the same time, Van Prahn has had three very good years with three years of great production at center. And what he brings to the table is also just very impressive when it comes to explosion and movement skills, to strength and control. He's kind of a full package there. You see it right off the bat. Every single snap, you'll see him explode out of that stance. And he will get to any position before anybody else. And he's been doing it against some of the best talent in the college football in the SEC. I have full confidence in his ability to step right in and be a dominant force on the interior of an offensive line. And I believe he's pretty scheme diverse too. So whatever you are running out there, I think he can fit right in and, you know, do exactly what you need him to do. When it comes to us and what we would need, I think he could probably do the same. He could probably jump right in there. We can move move Tippmann out to the guard and be very happy with him as our center for the next couple of years, for the next 10 plus years. He's got everything that you desire. And the fact that he's been, I haven't really seen anybody talk about him at all, I think is just kind of criminal at this point. What he was able to do can't be ignored.
No, not at all. Von Prahn's awesome. He really is. He is such a fun prospect. To be a smaller center in terms of his pure size, I believe he's 6'3", like 298, like he wasn't even a full 300 at the combine. You're 6'3", 298, and you hit people like you're 330. I mean, the power in his pads and in his anchor as well, his ability to drop his weight and just be immovable against power and keep that front of the pocket intact. It is really, really impressive. And then he has the movement skills of a guy who's 298 too. And that's what makes him so special, is that you see him get out in front on screens, on tunnel screens, and just deplete linebackers and safeties and completely and totally dominate them. You see him move defensive tackles in the SEC off the line of scrimmage and win the rep and create that displacement. You see him anchor down against power on a stunt from a defensive end who's got a five-step running start, and they hit him in the chest and they don't move. I mean, he has all the athleticism in the world. He has all the experience in the world. He's been a 3-year starter since his sophomore year, consistently played. I don't think he's missed much, if any, time starting over that time frame. You know, this is, he's just a plug and play center, and it doesn't matter the scheme. Like you said, I think he's got the athleticism and the quick feet and the reachability for zone blocking. He's definitely got the power for the gap scheme. He can be in a pass heavy offense because he has the hands and he has the anchor to hold the front of the pocket. I mean, he can kind of fit in anywhere, and I don't understand either why he's being forgotten about.
Yeah, I really can't explain it at all.
It's kind of like, oh gosh, what was his name? The center from Oklahoma a few years ago, the Chiefs drafted.
Oh, yes.
I'm blanking on his name.
I'm blanking on his name too, but yes, exactly. Yes.
Where we were scouting him going, this dude's incredible. This dude's awesome. Like, this could be a first round pick at center. This Creed Humphrey, that's his name.
Creed Humphrey, yeah.
We're watching Creed Humphrey going, how do you know, why are people so low on Creed? Why are people saying he's going to be this, you know, late second round pick, which he ended up being? And Creed Humphrey's become one of the best centers in the league. And anybody, you know, looking back now, you could pick somebody out of that first round that shouldn't have been a first round pick that any team would have gone, yeah, we would have rather had Creed Humphrey. You know, I think this is the same sort of idea with Von Prahn, where he's probably going to go second or third round. And I think off his tape and off his pure grade in terms of a prospect, he's a late first, early second round center prospect.
Yeah, I feel like that's accurate. He's been so forgotten that I could see him definitely falling, because I've seen a lot of people even have the West Virginia center over him. So if the rest of the league feels that way, I could see him falling to the third round. And that would be a steal for any team. I'm looking at my notes right now in big bold letters. Put this guy out front and he will make magic happen. The way he targets blocks on the move, his hand placement, and the power that he brings, along with that agility and quickness, is just a violent combination of assets to have.
Yeah, yeah, it really is. Not a lot of guys can move like that. And not a lot of guys have that sort of power and strength to their game. Even fewer of them have both. And he really does have both in spades. It's really impressive.
It really is.
All right, moving on along with my list. Another guy that's a center who's a little bit undersized, but packs a bit more power than you would expect. That's Bo Limmer. Bo Limmer from Arkansas really stood out to me first at the Senior Bowl. Had a really good time at the Senior Bowl. Again, being undersized, is 6'5", 302, a little bit smaller, I think, on the field. I think he probably bulked up a little bit to hit that 302. Arm length, definitely not quite there, 31 7/8 inches. So he's going to strictly be that interior guy, center, possibly guard. But you watch him on film, and it's kind of like Cooper Beebe. You wouldn't know the length is an issue. And it's a different sort of way to win and overcompensate than Beebe, where Limmer is just so explosive and so quick off the ball that he gets into people's chest and gets into their pads so fast they can't react. And he kind of takes away that length disadvantage with his movement and is able to get up on people so quick. Then you see the power in him come out. And he just has this other mode where he goes into, where it's like the switch flips. And I'm going to turn into the Tasmanian devil and just run through you. And he puts people on the ground way more than you would expect for a guy his size. But he plays with such good pad level to stay low and just uproot people, has good mass in his lower frame and good strength in his lower body to be able to drive on contact. He had a 36.5-inch vertical. Like, that's pretty ridiculous for a guy his size. Had a really good short shuttle, too, at a 4.57. Not quite at that amazing elite of the elite, you know, type of number like we were talking about for a Dominic Pooney, but still a good number by no means.
Good.
Yeah, by no means something to be concerned about. And I just love his attitude. I love his strength. I love his explosion. I love his ability to take away the distance between people, get up into their frame so quickly. And then once he gets into that close quarters fight, you put him in a phone booth and he doesn't lose. And I love that sort of mentality on the interior. I think he could be a bit better in pass protection. I think I'd like to see that Cooper Beebe-ness with his hands to try and compensate for the length. He can get a bit too far over his toes and get a little off balance sometimes. But again, that comes with the aggression, that comes with the mindset, that comes with the, as soon as this ball is snapped, as soon as I hear my quarterback even utter anything that sounds like a snap count, I'm getting off this ball and I'm taking your head off. You got to try and reel that in a little bit, but it's a lot harder to teach that in a guy who doesn't have it than it is to reel it in a guy who does. And I just, I love his frame. I love his potential. I love his development curve. He's been, you know, a starter for a couple of years. So he's got the experience there. This is a guy that's going to go a lot later in the draft, probably 5, 6, 7 range, and is going to get stashed by a team to just let him grow. I think he could be a zone scheme center in the future with his ability and his agility in space. I think he wouldn't be bad in a gap scheme either with his power, and just give him time to develop. I think he's going to be a good player. I think he can play guard too. He's got the height for it. He's got the anchor. He's got the strength. You know, he's got the mentality. I think that there's a future for him somewhere on the inside of an offensive line at some point.
Yeah, I started watching him in 2022. And he was mostly a guard that year. And yeah, his anger, the anger that he plays with, really jumped out at me. He just kind of bullies people sometimes, and it's very impressive. And I love that kind of mean streak in an interior guy. So that automatically bumps him up a few spots on my board. The only thing I really kind of pinned on him as kind of a negative were twists and stunts. I thought he had a pretty up and down instances with that, where he would either be a little late recognizing it or doesn't fully pick it up completely, where his lack of length kind of doesn't, or where his lack of length did hurt him, is because when he sees you coming, yeah, he has the ability to compensate for it. But when he doesn't have his eyes on you right away, he loses that leverage very easily. And I could see that being an issue, but also something that he can work on. And if he does work on that, I think that there is a lot of upside there. Like you said, somebody's going to stash him on their offensive line depth, and he's going to do wonders in the future.
Yeah, I really think he will. You don't teach that mentality. I mean, the rep that, you know, everyone talks about Jackson Powers Johnson Senior Bowl, and it was a great Senior Bowl. He was awesome, and he's a great prospect. Not trying to knock anything from him whatsoever. I think he is a first round offensive lineman through and through. But people miss the rep where probably, I think at the Senior Bowl, he was 298-pound Bo Limmer wins a one-on-one against 360-pound Devondre Sweat in a bull rush. Like, that's the mentality that gets lost, that you can't teach that in a guy. And when they have that and it leads through their tape and it shines on the field, it really makes me think that they're going to commit to everything they have to get better. And like you said, with those stunts and twists, he has the movement skills to recover. It's just about identifying them faster. It's just about reading and seeing them coming a bit earlier. Because if he does see you coming, like you said, he can get there before you. But if he doesn't, then you're going to have that advantage and he doesn't have that length to compensate. But you give him some time, you gut him with a good offensive line coach and let him get some experience. You know, not the type of guy you're going to want to throw out week one as your rookie starting center, but year two, you know, possibly year one, he plays as a backup and gets some spot time here and there. You know, I think it's going to do wonders for him. And I really think he's just going to keep getting better.
Yeah, I completely agree. I can't stress enough how much I love that mean attitude, and it would fit right in with the guys that we have.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I mean, the guy thinks he's 6'8", 390 pounds and tries to run you over like he is. And more often than not, he does exactly that.
Yeah, he does. And I think, yeah, there's so much room to grow. If it was a matter of him not being able to do something, fine, but it's not. He has the ability to do everything that is asked of him. It's just a matter of him developing mentally and kind of working through the deficiencies and finding ways to compensate for them.
Yep, that's all it is. That's all it is. And I think with time, he'll get there. All right, Matt, let's round this off. Last guy on your list, somebody that we're both very excited to talk about, our number one interior offensive lineman, Christian Haynes from UConn.
Yeah, Christian Haynes. I didn't really know what to expect watching a Connecticut offensive lineman, since Connecticut has been pretty bad in the last, decade, I guess. Seeing an offensive lineman from Connecticut really not just be good, but turn out to be probably the best interior offensive lineman, and like I said, both of our number one guys, he just impresses you with his strength, his core power that he brings, his ability to just blank you. You can, whatever you throw at him, he has the ability to stop it and does stop it very often. His movement skills isn't horrible. I think that his movement skills are better than BB. So if it's a matter of what kind of scheme are we running, I think he is a little bit more scheme diverse than a guy like BB. But also, his bread and butter will be power and control. He does both of those things very, very well. And his anchor, I think, is second to none. I haven't seen anybody be able to impose their will and strength on him. He has it all. And I would be thrilled if there's a way that we can get him. I see him going, if not in the late first round, or early second round. So the only way we're probably going to see him is if we're able to trade back and get a early second round pick. And even then, it's unlikely. He's just that good. And I'm looking at now, I'm trying to find something that I've graded him low on. And maybe it's just movement in space, where he's able to get to the spots that he needs to get to, but maybe just a tick slower than you would probably like. But you know what? I can live with that when it comes to everything else that he does very, very well. It would be a privilege to have him.
Yeah, I really would. Christian Haynes is just incredible. I mean, in a little bit, like you said, you're looking for the weaknesses. You're looking for the things that he doesn't do well. It's kind of Rome Odunze-ish. And like how I was talking about Rome, where, okay, do something wrong, dude. Like, at some point, do something wrong. Give me something to knock you on, because I don't want to just sit here and be like, oh, this guy's perfect. And he's definitely not perfect, because he doesn't have that elite movement, elite agility, and the ability to be that in space, wide zone, lead out on a screen and take out the safety, or be the, you're going to run the quarterback, the play action power play where the guard pulls and you have to get across the field and meet the defensive end, you know, in space as a blocker and pass protection. He's not quite that level of a mover, but it's by no means bad, and especially not at his size. And at least for the zone game, he has the length to kind of move people and turn people the way he wants, and has the hand strength and power in his arms to move people the way he wants them to move. And he can kind of just, he may not cross your face immediately. He'll get 2/3 of the way there, and then he'll just turn you the rest of the 1/3 he didn't get. And he's still going to seal and create a lane. In the power game, forget it. Absolutely forget it. I mean, this dude is a bulldozer in the run game and power. When he just needs to take a defensive tackle and drive him 5 yards up the field, he drives him 7 yards up the field. When it's a double team and he needs to move off that defensive tackle and get up to the linebacker, he just gives half a shoulder to the defensive tackle and they're on their knees. And then he's up to the linebacker and it's like a lion hunting a gazelle, and he just takes them down. It is so fun to watch. He's so good in pass pro too. His hands are great. His anchor is immovable. He's aware. He's very, very easy to recognize stunts and twists, gets himself into the right position, calls out stunts to the rest of his linemen who don't see it yet to get them in better position, knows how to use his drag hand effectively, latches inside. And like with that torque in the run game, when he gets his hands inside and he latches, you're done. He's just awesome. he really is just absolutely awesome. I liken him to Trey Smith in Kansas City, where it's just, I'm bigger than you, I'm longer than you, I'm stronger than you, and I'm quick enough and agile enough to get to the spot where you can't just run by me either, and I have the mentality that I'm going to dominate you on every single play, and by the end of the game, you're going to hate me. That is Christian Haynes, and like you said, Matt, I think he is a shot at the back end of the first round, likely early second. He's a top 25 player on my board, though. In terms of pure grade, in terms of where I value this guy, this is a middle of the first round grade for an offensive lineman. I think he's excellent. Absolutely excellent.
Oh, yeah. That's not inaccurate at all. Everything you had there is right on the money. Let's see. I did find something else that I kind of was a little worried about. Is that sometimes he does get a little too far over his toes. And because he's only got, 33.5-inch arms, that some really longer defenders are able to kind of take advantage of that a little bit. But even then, he has the ability to recover, and usually does, in a way that will at least neutralize the threat, if not make it a stalemate. So even then, even with his negatives, there's positives you could take from him.
His losses are stalemates. And that's the thing that I really look for in offensive linemen, where even when you lose, like you said, you lose initially, you lose the length match, you got a longer defensive tackle who's able to swat your hands away. Now you're in recovery mode. What do? He has the agility and the power in his frame naturally to absorb that contact if guys do get into his chest and shuffle his way into a better position. He keeps his pads really low, so he's hard to get under and get that leverage to, forklift people. And then he gets himself into that position to redirect, get his hands back inside, and then it's over. And his worst plays are, you drove me back a yard and a half, then I reset and countered, and you didn't get near the quarterback. That's if that's your worst play, then sign me up.
Oh, absolutely. So out of all these guys, not even just the guys that we mentioned, but all the interior guys that we've watched, who's the one guy that you think is a realistic target that we definitely need to target?
I'm going to call out somebody that we haven't talked about yet, actually, and it's not going to be my third pick being Hunter Norzad, who I'll talk about in a minute. That's Zach Zinner from Michigan for me, in terms of realistic who I think fits the Jets, who they could target. Zach Zinner, like Cooper Beebe, is that gap scheme guard, bring your neck roll, not going to be the guy who's going to get out in space and win every reach block, but you need a defensive tackle put on the ground, he's got you. You need a linebacker with their face mask full of grass, he's got you. You need a clean front of the pocket and pass protection and somebody who isn't going to get ran over, he's got you there too. And I think he's better, like Beebe in a way, he's better on pulls, where if he isn't trying to immediately win and explode in that fraction of a second to cross somebody's face and has a bit of a couple of steps to get a runway and get moving, he can get on the move. He can get to his landmark, he can ID in space, and he's able to redirect his momentum to not overrun his target. I think he can be valuable there too. I really, really like Zach Zinner. I think Cooper Beebe's kind of the better version of Zach Zinner, but if you can't get Cooper Beebe and it's round four and Zach Zinner staring you in the face, I don't think that's a bad pick at all.
No. Yeah. If you're getting Cooper Beebe light, even saying that just doesn't feel like I'm doing him.
He's not that much lighter though.
He's not much lighter. Yeah. He's
like Cooper Beebe understudy.
Exactly. I have so many of these guys rated very close to each other. So even if, BB, I have him a little bit ahead of Zinner, but at the same time, Zinner is one of those guys that you can see the upside and where he could be in a couple of years in an NFL weight room and get him with some offensive line coaches that really know how to just bring out the best in him. And I think they will. And he has that ability to get to that level.
Yeah, there's four teams that are going to be fighting for Zach Zinner. It's going to be the Jets, the Ravens, the Browns, and the Chargers.
Yeah, I could see that for sure.
All right, let's get to my last guy here. That's Hunter Norzad, the center from Penn State. Hunter Norzad, a much further down the board guy, a guy who's right now 6'7", possibly undrafted in terms of the center class. And he's really, really getting undervalued. I mean, he has the one thing with Hunter Norzad that I love is that he's just so technically sound, and his tape is boring in the best way possible, where he's not the flashy guy. He's not going to be constantly putting people in the dirt. He's not going to be the immediate get out in space. Whoa, look at that guy move on the pole and he got up to the linebacker so fast. Or he's not the, he drove that defensive tackle 6 yards back off the snap. You know, that's not his game. But in terms of not losing, in terms of playing a clean game, in terms of being an effective offensive lineman for what the play design is asking him to do, Hunter Norzad does a really, really good job at that. A lot of people talk about how Oluwaseunu struggled in the run game, and that's his big weakness, is that he has the pass protection skills, but isn't quite there as a run blocker, doesn't quite have that power, that drive on contact to open up lanes. And people then don't ask, okay, well, then who was doing the run blocking for Penn State? Because Penn State ran the ball a ton. And the answer was Hunter Norzad. Hunter Norzad had that ability to torque people out of their gaps, to create a solid lane and position himself between the runner and the defender, and just give his backs holes to go open and get through. Didn't matter if he was under center straight away, driving people off contact. Didn't matter if he had to do the quick inside zone reach where it's really more of a power block and you're trying to throw that guy to the side and create a lane. He could do that. You saw him on pulls get to the edge on you know, quarterback powers or counter plays from running backs where he has to get out in space and seal the defensive end and pin him inside. Does it perfectly, turns his body, gets his hands inside. No question, no problem. Has that same sort of mentality in pass protection where he's smart. Wouldn't say he's the smartest guy I've ever seen, but he's by no means inexperienced. Has good hand placement, has good anchor, isn't going to be flashy, isn't going to do, you know, anything too crazy, isn't going to outright dominate people, but he is not going to lose very often. And I just see this guy being really slept on and somebody that I think can be a definitely quality backup lineman in the league and possibly a starter, if not, you know, a spot starter as a backup somewhere in between there. I think he's got a future. And I really do think that everybody is so enamored with Oluwaseunu and everybody is so just enthralled with his pass blocking that they're ignoring Hunter Norzad on the inside. And when everyone's watching Oluwaseunu and going, oh, that's a bad run blocking rep, but the running back still gains 7 yards, they're missing that it was Norzad that opened that hole in the first place.
Yeah, Norzad definitely impressed me. I think he's a fifth-year guy. I think he started out in Cornell. But then as soon as he got to Penn State, I feel like he really blossomed into his own. He's played just about every position other than maybe right guard, I think. So he's got a lot of versatility there. And he's kind of got the experience that from many different angles, many different positions. And he took a little bit from all of them to kind of mold him into the guy that he is now. And it's somebody that's very talented, that does everything kind of pretty well. Nothing to the point that it will amaze you or put him at the top of any chart. But at the same time, he does everything so efficiently that it's hard to find the negatives. The negatives are just he doesn't do this enough, or wish he was just a little bit better at this. It's not he can't. So those kinds of guys are definitely valuable because you already have a strong foundation to build off of, and his is very firm.
It really is, but his ability is just so even keeled, like you said, and it has that versatile rounding to his game where there's definitely things he could be better at. I wouldn't say he's elite in any one particular area, but he doesn't struggle in any of them either. And you can see the room for growth. You can see the development. You can see the smarts. You can see that just, I'm going to be a technician mentality in everything that I do. And it allows him to make up for, you know, his average physical skills. And I think those guys end up playing in the league for a long time. I mean, with the offensive line in particular, I think you have to be athletic in some way, shape, or form to be a professional football player. There kind of is just no other way around it. But for the guys that aren't the elite of the elite athletes at offensive line, if you're not Troy Fautanu and you can't move like he can, and you don't have the natural strength and power like he does, you got to win in other ways. And that's where technique comes in. And Hunter Norzad clearly knows that. He had an awesome East-West Shrine Bowl, really stuck out there against some good competition, and just continued to see his name rise. I think somebody is going to get a steal of an offensive lineman, whether it's at the very end of the draft, possibly as an undrafted free agent. I just think this guy's a rosterable interior offensive lineman in the NFL, and those are harder to come by than people realize.
Yeah, that just, again, speaks to the depth of this interior group, that we're talking about a guy like Norzad who might not even get drafted. That's wild, because the talent that he already has and possesses and has, and the potential that he also has, is something that I think will shine on in a lot of teams' draft boards, and will shine once he finally gets that chance to prove himself also.
Yeah, I think so too. I really do. I think he's just the type of guy that, you know, coaches are going to love him because they're going to go through drills. He's going to do everything perfect. He's going to, you know, make sure that his, you know, craft is as refined as possible. He's going to be clean on tape. You're not going to have many offensive line coaches going through the draft process and getting to Hunter Norzad and going, here's all the things I have to fix with him. It's here's all the things that I can teach him to make him better. Here's all the ways that we can improve him. And here's all the things that he does already that I don't have to teach him, that's going to give him a leg up on somebody coming in fresh.
Yep. It'll be fun to see how he develops.
Yeah, it really will. It really will. I think he'd be a good Jets fit. You know, I think he has enough of that strength and power to be in that gap scheme. I also think he has the quickness and the technique and the hand placement and the understanding of zone blocking to be good in that scheme too. I think he could be a good stash and hope guy to be as a backup center. I mean, if you need as many good offensive linemen as you can collect in the NFL, as simply as it can be put. You can never have too many good blockers.
Yeah, that is most definitely the truth. And I think the last couple of years for Jets fans, they've gotten a taste of what happens when you don't have that depth. You don't have the guys that you can really develop into solid NFL players. We can use as many as we can.
Yeah, absolutely. I would not be upset if the Jets took two interior guys later in the draft this year at all.
No, not at all. Two wide receivers? Great. Two interior guys? Awesome. I'm all for it. Draft to the strength of the draft.
100%. That's the perfect way to end. Draft to the strength of the draft. And the strength of the draft this year is wide receivers and offensive line.
Absolutely.
All right, Matt. I think that does it for us this week. You got anything to add?
No. Watching this group was really fun. I don't think there's going to be another class like this for a while when it comes to offensive linemen and the potential that they all have.
Yeah, no, this is going to be one of those drafts where 4 or 5 years down the line, we're going and it's like almost every team has a starting or immediate backup offensive lineman from this draft class somehow. They're going to be all over the league. They're going to be everywhere.
Yeah, and if you see somebody from this class stashed on a practice squad somewhere, jump on.
100%. Well, thank you all so much for tuning in. That's going to wrap it up for us this week. You can follow the show at OKD Podcast. You can find me at Andrew Golden _17. Matt, let the people know where they can find you, and we can wrap this one up.
Matt, you can find me at Zazzy Jets.
Thank you all so much for tuning in. Appreciate you stopping by, and we will be back next week to continue breaking down this 2024 NFL draft class. See you soon.